After civil rights icon John Lewis was buried, efforts increased to rename the bridge he led 600 African Americans over in 1965 to peacefully protest for voting rights. The bridge in Selma, Alabama, is named after a white supremacist senator, Edmund Pettus. Thousands have signed a petition to name it after Lewis, who was just 25 when he and the marchers were beaten by state troopers, his skull fractured, a day that became known as Bloody Sunday. But there are many in Selma who revere John Lewis, they followed him, and they want the name to stay the way it is. Linda Lowry is one of them. She was just 14 in 1965 when she was beaten and got stitches of her own. A warning, as we hear her story, we'll hear racist language that she heard then and in her life. It may be upsetting for some. Linda, thank you so much for giving us your time.
Thank you for having me, Robin.
You were 14. What happened to you?
On that Sunday, we were marching two abreast, led by the late Congressman John Lewis and the late Hosea Williams. So all of the state troopers and sheriff deputies, and as we knelt, that's when I felt someone grab me in the back of my collar, jerking me out of a kneeling position. Well, when he jerked me back, his fan just happened to hit my mouth, and my mouth wasn't nonviolent, so I bit him on his hand. I heard the word nigger twice, and he hit me twice in my forehead, and I managed to get up and start running into a cloud of tear gas, and this man, a sheriff's deputy, was running behind me, hitting me.
Hitting you with what, Linda? With a baton?
They had things like little baseball bats. I passed out, and when I woke up, I started running back across the bridge. When I got to the Selma side, I stopped in my tracks because I saw this man holding my baby sister, and she looked like she was dead. He said she had just fainted. She was 11 years old at the time. So I grabbed her hand and I started running. And when I got to the hospital, I remember this white doctor. He had a needle in his hand. The next thing I remember, it was about 10:30 at night, and I was walking up those 10 steps to our back door with my daddy. I had 7 stitches over my right eye and 28 in the back of my head. Mm. And that's when I became an angry 14-year-old, angry at the governor, Governor George Wallace. And I was determined then that I was going to be out there and in his face as long as I needed to be, to make change.
What an incredible story, Linda. Just 14 years old. And you'd actually met with John Lewis. You were taught by him. Just tell us a little bit about that.
John was always quiet, no-nonsense person, but it was like E.F. Hutton. When John spoke, you stopped and listened. I love and admire him. But I don't want the name of my bridge changed.
Well, can you explain that, Linda? Because he taught you nonviolent protest. You followed him across that bridge. You loved him. Why not change the name to honor him?
To honor John would be to take the signatures on that petition to Congress and have them restore the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And if we change the name to anything, it would be a whitewash of our history.
That protest, that Bloody Sunday, led right to the Voting Rights Act. There were requirements for certain southern states. The Supreme Court overturned that. You're saying, let's restore that. That would honor him. But what do you say to people who just really still can't understand this, to leave the name of an avowed racist on a bridge?
I still say that we, on March 7th, 1965, we took the sting out of that name. If you really want to do something, then find out what Selma is, what it needs, and help Selma that way.
I think it was your sister, Joanne Bland, who said, you know, Pettus is rolling in his grave every time we walk across that bridge.
Yes.
Because every year there's a commemoration, and every year he knows he lost. But is part of it also that there were so many local people? I'm not saying you want a bridge named after you, or even after Amelia Boynton, who was beaten unconscious. But John Lewis would be the first to say he came from outside Selma to help you guys organize. There are so many people who had been doing the work in Selma.
Our blood and tears is embedded in the cement of that bridge. And John himself said he didn't get beat across the John Lewis Bridge, and he got beat across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And if there had not been that Confederate history, there wouldn't have been a need for civil rights or voting rights history.
Yeah. What a trauma for a 14-year-old to be in that moment. We are so much more conscious of all of that because of John Lewis's passing. I'm wondering if you've had to relive it. I mean, this might be difficult for you.
For 40 years, Robin, I could not talk about the things that happened to me, or I couldn't even articulate my feelings. And finally, writing a memoir, Turning 15 on the Road to Freedom, my story of the 1965 voting rights movement as told to Elspeth Leacock and Susan Buckley, it took them about 8 years to get my story out of me. Now I can talk about things, and I used the words that was used on us when the sheriff's deputy hit me. He called me a nigger. I used those words because that's the words that were used. But I also asked people to think about how a 8-year-old girl felt when her daddy took her to town to get her a pair of Sunday dress shoes. And they go into a store, and this little white girl, younger than me, asks my daddy, "What you want, nigger?" And I looked up at my daddy, and the look that was in his eyes still haunts me today, because it was a look of helplessness. Before we knew anything, we knew that white people didn't like us and black people in Selma, Alabama. At the age of 7, my mother died. And the older people said she wouldn't have died if she hadn't been colored. I knew that white people didn't like black people then. But then I found out when my mother died that they hated black people. So I made a vow at 7 years old that when I got big, I was going to change things, that nobody would ever have to grow up without a mommy again because of the color of her skin. I didn't know that getting big meant I would hear Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. speak at the age of 13. Dr. King said you could get anybody to do anything but steady, loving confrontation. I distinctively heard him say, "Linda, you can get anybody to do anything with steady, loving confrontation." And that's how I have lived my life. And going to jail 9 times before my 15th birthday. Then marching on that bridge on March 7th, getting beaten, just reinforced me that I could be a vessel for change. And when we win this fight this time, it will be the end of our fighting.
Linda Lowry, thank you so much for speaking with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.